School districts around the country are deciding their plans for the fall as the coronavirus pandemic continues. San Diego and Los Angeles Unified School Districts are beginning the school year online. So are Nashville and Atlanta. New York City schools are planning a hybrid model with both online and in-person learning. And in Illinois, the governor is encouraging schools to reopen for in-person learning, but Chicago hasn't yet announced its plan, which means teachers, students, and parents are waiting. Joining us now is Michelle Gunderson, who's a first grade teacher at the Nettlehorst School in Chicago. Thank you for joining us.
Happy to be here with you, Jeremy.
Well, and with this uncertainty for you and for everyone, what are you preparing for when it comes to the fall?
Thank you for having me on and for asking that question. I think the first thing I'm preparing for is to have health and safety in my mind and in the forefront of everything I do. Teachers are planners. We spend our summers figuring out what we can do better, what we can do next with our students. And I think it's really important that the decisions be made at the district level of what we can expect so that we can plan for it.
Would you rather be in the classroom with your students this fall if it's done safely, or would you rather do things online based on how things are going with COVID-19 right now?
Right. If you had asked that 2 months ago, I would have been hopeful that we could be going back into school. In fact, I sat on the governor's Board of Education team figuring out the reopening efforts for Illinois, and I was hopeful we could go back in. I think being in person is the best way that children learn, but this new upsurge has really given me cause to think we need to make decisions now that we are going to be remote, because abundance of caution is just not a catchphrase. It's something we actually need to do.
And how do you prepare to teach first graders remotely?
If districts could make decisions today, we could now be spending our time and our effort thinking about what's best for children and what's best for families. You know, I learned a lot when we went remote learning. I'd like to call it remote learning instead of online learning, especially for our younger learners. Everything that they learn and do does not have to involve a screen. And I was careful with that in my planning with parents and children when we went remote March 16th in Chicago. If teachers knew now, we could be planning to be better. You know, in March, we were flying the airplane and writing the instructions to build it at the same time. And there was a huge learning curve for teachers. So I'm looking forward to a definite decision so I can be making definite and good plans.
Well, give me an example of how you could teach without the student being on a screen.
Children need real materials in front of them. I was very lucky to have my kids in front of me that last day and send home, for instance, all their math counters with them. For instance, if I was teaching addition, I would tell children, take out three of your red counters and three of your white counters, and then let's do some problems with them. And the children had those materials with them, and we could do it together while on the screen. Also, I could do demonstration videos that the parents could access at any time, but I was using the real materials that the children could then have in front of them. I get feedback from parents that was very effective, especially the time element, because now we have parents who are working at home while trying to help their children.
But the parents really become a partner with you more than ever before in teaching their kids.
They do, and parents are going to need a lot of support. You know, one of the things that I am hoping that people can understand is that we're going to need to be generous with one another. We aren't going to be going back to school as we knew it, even if we do go in person. And a big part of this is forming trusting relationships between teachers, parents, and the students, and that we need to allow each other to make mistakes. One of the things that I kept saying to our parents when we would get frustrated or they felt insecure is that, let's remember, nobody asked for this, and we're all in it together, and we're going to have to communicate openly and honestly with each other. I also hope teachers take strong consideration into the real lives of parents, too.
Let's pretend like Chicago decides that schools will go back, what would that mean for you?
That would be a very difficult decision to say yes to. And parents and teachers and students would have to decide what their comfort level is. I'm a leader in our union in Chicago, and we would have to negotiate the details of what that would look like to make sure everybody was on the same page. But I know at the forefront is safety. And let's be clear that even if we have masks and social distancing and increased hygiene and better cleaning, revised schedules so that students are having minimal amount of contact with other people, even if we have all of those things in place, all we're doing is mitigating a pandemic. And there's going to be harm. And I think we need to realize how complex a system Chicago is. Children get on our Chicago transportation, sometimes two buses or more, to get to school. So there is going to be difficulty in having minimal contact. And it's going to be very difficult to trace and to screen and make sure everybody is safe. Some of our schools are huge in Chicago. One of our high schools has 5,000 students, and in a lot of places, that's a small town. So what can happen in a elementary school with 300 students is going to be very different than our large comprehensive high schools.
What do you say to people who are worried that by keeping students out of school, even though it does mitigate some of the risks from coronavirus, that by keeping students out of school, it's going to have long-term impacts on these kids, not just for what they're not learning, you know, by the book, but also what they're not learning about interacting with others and, you know, their emotional well-being?
Well, I already said that we're not going to be returning to school as we know it, even when we do go back to school. We're going to have to keep students away from one another. We're going to have to help students control their bodies. And I teach young students. Imagine what that's going to be like, having them be 6 feet apart in line, being on the playground and not being able to interact. It's not going to be the school that we knew. But also having said that, nobody's advocating for never going back to school. What we want is time. I think that we are looking at an upsurge in Illinois. I think that the condition and criteria that we don't go back until there's a control of community spread for over 14 days is wise. So I'm advocating for time, and I'm also advocating for increase safety measures in schools, but we also need to understand this is going to cost a lot of money. We have to have smaller class sizes. When I try to visualize what this would be like as a teacher, I don't believe I could keep more than 14 six-year-olds safe with the amount of vigilance and supervision it would take with the current conditions and circumstances we are being asked to keep.
I just want to finally ask you, as a teacher, what do you think when you hear President Trump or Education Secretary Betsy DeVos say that schools have got to reopen and that they're willing to withhold federal funding if schools don't reopen?
Well, I've taught for 34 years, Jeremy, and the one thing I know about teaching is that if you're not flexible, you're going to come upon brick walls that you can't go through. And fully operational means telling all of us that we don't have the opportunity to be creative, that we don't have the opportunity to be flexible, and that there's no care for what each community needs. What we really need right now is community controls, testing, contact tracing. You know, schools are not islands. We don't work in isolation. We are parts of the community. And what that fully operational means is stick all the children back into schools no matter what. And that's just wrong thinking.
That is Michelle Gunderson, who is a first grade teacher in the Nettlehorst School in Chicago. Michelle, thank you so much for what you do, and good luck with the students this fall.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good luck, and we hope everyone stays safe.